Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We have been at this for about 8.5 years. And it comes to my mind that the first time I was ever moved to go public in this, which is called the God School, the very first thing I said was, I'm not here to tell you about how to have a better life down here, but to show through God's word the eternal calling that God has revealed to all of those that he has chosen. We're going verse by verse through this epistle to the Hebrews. And not to go over it again, but it says in the opening of the third chapter, it says, wherefore, that's a word that means, now because of all these things that have gone before, and what has gone before is described as God having at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken unto the prophets, spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. And it goes on to describe 7 astounding things God has to say about his Son, and this, which we call the Bible, is a collection of books, all of which relate to each other. Dr. Scott used to say, and I don't claim this gift to myself, but he used to say, I can teach the whole Bible through any book of the Bible. And wherein it says, has spoken unto us in these last days, has spoken unto us by his Son. We go to the Gospels, wherein God is making manifest out of a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And so that's part of what has gone before. It says, back to that first verse of the third chapter, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, of our confession, of our declaration, Christ Jesus. Because of what has gone before in the first and second chapter, Paul says, because of this, holy brethren. And, you know, there was a time in my ignorant life when I would have been confronted by that particular verse, and I would have said, okay, well, that leaves me out. Holy. But in diligent study, because of a diligent teacher, I have come to understand this word has nothing to do with performance and everything to do with commitment. It's a liturgical word. Other times this word is translated saint. Oh, and you know, well, that leaves me out too because I'm no saint. No, hear and understand the meaning of the word. Even in the Temple of Diana, there were women who were called saints because they were committed to the service in the temple. Now, you know, what they were prostitutes. Make it plain and simple. But in the vernacular, they were called saints. They were committed. It was a liturgical word. And it has solely to do with commitment. Some newer translations would say, you know, to be politically correct, holy brethren and cistern or sisters. Yes. Partakers. Partakers. I don't know how far we're going to get today, but I hope that wherever and whenever this message is listened to, that the ears that God has given you will be working. Wherefore, holy brethren, the committed ones, partakers of a heavenly calling. The word in the Greek is metachos. Mehachos. And it's a compound word. The two words are meta and exo. Now listen. Meta means with change afterward. In years gone by, we have taught on that word, I believe, mistranslated. The English being repentance. The word is metanoia, with change afterward, the mind. Here, the word being translated partaker is meta, with change afterward, exo, have. Properly, change, do, to, sharing. It means an active partaker with all those. Who by God's calling? And God's separating are active partakers with a heavenly calling. We're talking about eternity here, folks. We're talking about eternal things. It says, because of all this, committed brethren, active partakers of the heavenly calling, consider
I wrote some notes, and I want to, before I get to the next word, I want to share some of these notes that I took from teaching from my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, who has long since passed, but thank God, I still have access to some of his teaching. He describes this word holy. Let me share it. I'm just going to read. It has to do with commitment rather than performance. It has to do with turning loose of oneself in a liturgical act, giving yourself exclusively to the deity. They are not their own. They are part of the community of the committed. Part of a heavenly calling. No longer looking for it down here. It is said in another place in this letter, that of these holy brethren, these committed ones, that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, because of that, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them or us a city. Whose builder and founder is God. Now, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider. Now, I'm quoting Dr. Gene Scott. It's a powerful word. Like the phrase for earnestly heeding in chapter 2:1 of this book. It's a tenacious fixation. It involves the will grabbing hold of the mind and shoving everything else aside if you have settled it that you are committed to the Lord and you are His and not your own, and settle it that His kingdom is not of this world, and it is a heavenly calling that we are partakers of, then grab hold of your mind, shake the cobwebs out, sweep the dust aside, and zero in. That is what the word consider means. And what are we to consider? The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The apostle. You've heard teaching on this word many times. It means one sent, a sent one. And the declaration is, in this verse, that Christ Jesus is a sent one. The witness we find in John 17, third verse. And this, Jesus said, is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus Christ, sent from God, and high priest, I want to talk about that for a minute. Going back to the beginning of God's word, we have Adam and Eve in Eden, and it means heart of God. And not trusting God, which is called sin, they were separated from God and no longer had access to His heart. And God though separated from, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, begins to show us in the Old Testament a way back to Him. And He instructs Moses in the book of Exodus how to construct the tabernacle, all of which is a picture of Jesus, and He gives instruction for the clothing of the high priest, and he chooses Aaron, the high priest, and his lineage to be representatives. And, you know, part of that clothing was on the shoulders of the high priest were two stones with the names of the sons of Israel written on them. And on his breast, that is, the covering of his heart, was a breastplate with 12 gemstones, each one representing one of the tribes of Israel. And this high priest, though the sacrifice was done to be seen of men, type and shadow in the Old Testament of that which Christ performed on Calvary, but as you continue on in the type of this Old Testament picture of Christ, the high priest would take the blood of that sacrificed animal and make his way into the Holy of Holies, wherein the Ark of the Covenant was, which had the tables of gold called the mercy seat. And this act of the high priest was done in private, but part of his garments on the shoulders, which represents bearing of burdens. He would take the burdens of the people into the private place alone. And the breastplate, which was on his heart, expressing the love of God on that one who represented all the people. This is the picture of the high priest. And the writer is proclaiming the apostle, the one sent from God to us, and the high priest, the one from us, representing us to God with our burdens, to show us not only God's care for us, but his love to us also. We're talking about Jesus. Of whom it is said, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Because of what was said in the first two chapters of Jesus, not only heir of all things, by whom also the worlds were made, who was the outraying of his glory, the express image of his person, who had by himself purified us from our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who in the second chapter is called the captain, the first goer, the one to lead many on, who walked before us, the captain of their salvation. Because of all that, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, and we gave you that word, metaxos, that word is only used three times in the New Testament, and all three times it's found in this book of Hebrews. It says in the 14th verse of this same third chapter, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I want to read you a couple of other verses. Look, I'm trying to put God on display, and that through his word. I'm not trying to be the negative, but I can't help but point out the heresy of so much that's going on in the church today, where it, you know, the essence of the message is come to God and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And everything will be great. Because God has a special purpose in mind for you. Yeah, the special purpose is that you who are partakers of the heavenly or eternal calling might spend eternity with God in Christ Jesus. If we go to the 12th chapter of this book of Hebrews, it says in the 6th verse, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That the word is paideia, it means child train. And scourges every son whom he receives. If ye, Paul goes on to say, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. Don't think problems in this life are meant to separate you from God. They're meant to draw you closer, to dig into his book, to find that promise of God, to find that name of God that fits your situation, that you can grab hold of in spite of the circumstance or the chastening. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, If the God of this world has so perverted the minds of many in the church by giving them a great life down here, wherein they proclaim, "Look what God has done for me. I don't have a care in the world." God's word declares in this world we will have tribulation. That he chasteneth all of us. We're all partakers of his chastisement. And if we're not, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, those of this heavenly calling, those who are holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, then ye are bastards and not sons or daughters. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the one sent to us, and high priest, the one who now represents us with all our cares and burdens on his shoulders, with the love of God in his heart. That's our representative, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Now, he's talking to Hebrews, those who are familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, as also Moses was in all his house. For 4 Jesus Christ was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he, that is Jesus Christ, who has builded the house, has more honor than the house, for every house is builded by someone. But he that built all things is God, and Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. God, when he gave Moses instructions on the building of the tabernacle and all the elements that were contained therein or pertinent thereof, he said, "Do build them exactly as you have been told." And Moses did that. And these, from that time, were types and shadows of that which was to come, but the substance, or that which casts the shadow, was and is Jesus Christ. Thank God for Moses' faithfulness. But we not only thank God, but rejoice in God. Well, let's read on. But Christ as Son over his own house, whose house are we? If, here's a condition. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Whew. Let me by God's grace see and study of his word, and having been taught his word, if I might declare even a more pertinent translation of this sixth verse. If we hold fast the confidence, that is, if we boldly talk about it, that is, about what? About the hope, about the heavenly calling, about the eternal purposes for which God has called us. King James says, and the rejoicing? No, the word is boasting. You know, there's in the scriptures, there's good boasting and there's not good boasting. And the good boasting is not of ourselves, but when we boast of God and what he has done and his power to make it all come about. That's good boasting with all outspokenness. Boldly talking about it, the hope. What's some of that hope? Third chapter of Colossians. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I'll give you another one. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we hold fast, another word, like as to that word consider, which we early encountered. Hold fast to, stay with, bold out, speaking, talking about the hope, and boasting of the hope firm unto the end. This word being translated firm is babios. And it has to do with what can be tread upon. Absolutely dependable. Giving guaranteed support. Worthy of confidence because it's solid footing. It describes what is fully secure, stable, therefore can be trusted to give full support. Wherefore, holy brethren, Paul's talking to men and women. Who were changed from their old religious traditional viewpoints into the lively hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who, because of circumstance, were saying, oh my God, the world's turned upside down. We're probably better off going back to the old ways, going back to the religious ways, going back to looking holy and acting holy, that somehow or other we think that that might get us into heaven, rather than this life of faith that God has from heaven called us into. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. First Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. We're getting into some deep water here, folks. We're getting by his grace through faith. That is a great part of his grace, the gift of faith. And the admonition is, if we hold fast. In the Galatian letter, Paul says, If you've been taught in the world word, you are to share materially with the one that taught you. And he goes on and gives the admonition there, wherein he says, be not weary. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. Your continued participation with this ministry, your koinonia, your joint participation with this ministry, folks, we are declaring the light of the Word of God in this darkened world. We are declaring the light of God in so much of a darkened church. We will continue by His grace to teach. I pray you will continue by His grace to continue to support this teaching ministry. And that's the God School for today.